So for those of you who have been to the Easter Vigil before, you might be thinking, yeah, I know what this is about. But for some of you, you've maybe never been to an Easter Vigil before, and you might be wondering, what in the world have I come into? It's almost as if, well, it's kind of like, say you were from Thailand, you'd never been to Canada before, and someone who's super excited about that really good team, the Calgary Flames, takes you to a hockey game. But you don't know anything about hockey. And you wonder, what are these people all excited about? I mean, this is a pretty stupid thing, going up and down a sheet of ice, and what are they doing with those funny-looking sticks? I mean, if you don't know anything about the game of hockey, you're going to go, duh, that's sort of weird. And some of you might be wondering tonight, this is really weird. I mean, they got a fire outside, they're sitting in the dark, they've got all this smoke happening around here. What in the world is this? Well, this is heaven come to earth. That's what this is. This is the Catholic Church. This is the Catholic Church that has been doing this longer than hockey's ever been played. We've been doing this for 2,000 years. And this is the church that has saints like Pope St. John Paul II. He was Pope from 1978 until 2005. His official biographer in English was and is a man by the name of George Weigel. And in 2015, George Weigel was in Kingston speaking at an event there sponsored by the chaplaincy hosted by Father D'Souza. Some of you might know him. He writes for the National Post, and he's actually originally from Calgary. And in his speech that night, George Weigel said this about Pope St. John Paul II. This pope does not primarily come from Poland. He comes from Galilee. This pope doesn't come from Poland, he comes from Galilee. And what you have heard this evening, beloved brothers and sisters soon to be, is the story from Galilee. You've heard the story of the Bible. You've heard five passages from the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures. You've heard a passage from St. Paul from Romans, the man who had been a hater of the Christians and became its most ardent defender. And then we heard the story at the heart of all stories, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For you see, that's the heart of this story. That's the thing I want you to know more than anything else, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that death is not the end, that death does not end the story, but death leads to victory. And Pope St. John Paul II, who lived through the horrors of the Nazi occupation of Germany. He lived through the terror and the oppression of communism through Poland. He lived through so many things. And then on the 13th of May in the year 1981, at around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he was shot. And people thought that he was dead. But he says, "No, I wasn't killed. Our Lady protected me." He had a great devotion to Mary. And the remarkable thing about this man, who is, yes, the Pope from Poland, but primarily the Pope from Galilee, is a couple of years after this assassination attempt, on the 27th of December in 1983, he went to a prison called Rabibia Prison, where his attempted assassin, Ali Aka, was in jail. And you might know this picture, that there's Pope St. John Paul II in the cell, sitting in a simple chair opposite this man and saying to him, "I forgive you for what you did." The sad thing is, Ali Aka could not receive the Pope's forgiveness. And after the visit, this was his response when the media asked him. He said, "Well, the Vatican is the greatest of criminals, and that the church had offered him a huge sum of money and a cardinal's red hat if he converted to Catholicism." I just want to let you people know that are being baptized this evening, you're not getting any money and you're not getting a red hat. Okay? But isn't that interesting? Here he had a visit from the Pope himself. And yet he said, "Huh, I don't know what this is about. This doesn't make any sense to me." But here's the beauty of this gospel. When it begins to make sense to you, when you hear this story year after year, and you come to know and you live immersed in the Bible, you discover two things about Jesus. you discover that his wounds are for you and for me, that he died for our sin. What does that mean? It means he died for all of those ways in which our lives are disjointed and disordered and disrupted and deformed. He died for all of those ways in which we have experienced oppression. Sometimes when people hear that reading of the Egyptians being drowned, people think, what kind of God is that? Yuck. But think about it for a moment. Over the course of 10 opportunities, the Lord had said to Pharaoh, who was an oppressor, he was an abuser, let my people go. And rather than letting up on the abuse got worse and worse and worse and worse, kind of like what Putin is doing in Ukraine right now. That's sin. That's sin at the national level, that's sin at the international level, but some of you know that sin at the personal level. You know what it is to have been abused. Time and time and time again. And what Jesus has come to do, because he's been raised from the dead, he's the one who says, I want to liberate you. I want you to find a new life. I want you to find new freedom. And for those of us who've not been abused, but we've just kind of been living our lives, we know that in some ways life just doesn't seem to make sense. There's a kind of dissatisfaction, a kind of disjointed experience of what it is to be human. And that's part of the wound of sin as well. And Jesus came to touch us, to restore us, to heal us. But he also came to do something even more beautiful, to give us his peace. The Hebrew word for peace is the word shalom. And the word shalom means to bring things together, to integrate them, or we could say, to make them Catholic. Because the word Catholic means to be part of the whole. And that's what God in Christ seeks to do, to bring us together so that we truly are part of the whole. I love that first reading from Genesis chapter 1, the story of creation, because at the heart of that story is us. At the heart of that story is that you and I are made in the image of God. And there are three things that Genesis text wants to tell us. We are made for love. We are made for labor, and we are made for leisure. Love, labor, and leisure. You see, we're made to be in relationship with the God who is love. And then we're to be able to grow in loving one another. And out of that place, we're to understand that we're given work to do in this world, that is to be meaningful, that is to be purposeful, regardless of what that work is. It could be the work of doing the dishes. It could be the work of finding a cure for cancer. It could be the work of driving a truck. It could be whatever that work is. But when we understand that we've been made for love, we've been made for labor, then we begin to see the shalom, the peace that God wants. But thirdly, we've been made for leisure. That's hard for us modern people, because we think that leisure is entertainment. And one of the things that I find hard about this night is sitting here and listening to so much Bible being read. I mean, I like to be distracted in a sense. I like to have screens, things that I can look at, that I can click a mouse, that I can sort of move from here to here to here, to just sit quietly in a room and listen to these words. Ooh, I find that hard, and I'm a trained professional. I can imagine how hard it is for some of you. But you see, we've been made ultimately for leisure because we've been made for God. One last thought. We're told on Holy Saturday, Jesus was laid in the tomb and he rested. He rested until the new day, the new week, the day of the resurrection. And here's the most amazing truth of the gospel, that you and I are made for rest. We're actually, in a sense, being prepared to die, because our death is also necessary for us to enter into the fullness of the resurrection. So Donna, Rachel, Zane, and Austin, In a couple minutes, you're going to die. I'm sorry. Maybe we didn't tell you about that in the RCAA process. Deacon Stephen, what have you been teaching these people? But then you're going to rise. Three times you will be submerged into the water, and I will baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then you will come up out of the water, and you will be a new creation. All of the sin, everything that has in some ways affected your life, will be dealt with by Jesus. You will be squeaky clean, like you just came out of the car wash. But here's the problem. You're going to go back out into the world, and it's a mucky place out there. So you need to come to confession, to participate in the sacraments of the church, and one day at a time, to grow in holiness. And dear Harold, you're like me, like Marjorie, an Anglican who is now coming into the fullness of the Catholic Church. And I can tell you, as an Anglican who has come into the fullness of the Catholic Church, to come into the Catholic Church is a profound and beautiful gift. So welcome home, and welcome into the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. So we're called to see in the wounds of Jesus the one who comes to us in our sin, in every pain that we have experienced, because he wants to order our lives with his peace, his shalom, so that we can be inspired by men and women whom we call the saints, like Pope St. John Paul II. And he truly was a Polish pope. Couldn't be more Polish than St. John Paul II. But you couldn't be more, well, from Galilee than that man, because of his love for Jesus, his love for Scripture, and his love for the people of God.